podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Hey! local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So care about
by your speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall.
Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Let's go. January 8th, the release of SOS 2020. Over 30 local bands and 70 musicians come together to raise awareness for the Save Our Stages campaign. Please join the 13 Saints, Common Crown, Blackridge, The Boaster Boys, Keith Nelson, Buck Cherry, Chip and the Charger, Deuce, Dofka, Dominic Fusca, Dying Breed, Helios, Half Wheel, Johnny and the Razorblades, Little Finger, Murder for Girls, Orange Mammoth, The Red Strings, Royal Honey, Rustic Root, Scale, Stone Cold Killer, The Cheats, The Filthy Lowdown, The Granati Brothers, The Legendary Hucklebucks, The Red Lions, and The Regal Suite. Please go to www.sos2020pgh.org. Brought to you by The Vault, Alexis Art and Design, Build a Scene, and Flying Scooter.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri, AltRockRadio.ca, Hamilton, Toronto, Canada, RootaRooRadio.com, on the beaches of San Diego, California, XRP. Radio.co.uk, Birmingham, United Kingdom, and right here in the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania, buildthescene.com. My name is Bill. This is the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 548. With me tonight is Terry Blair. Terry, before I mess this up, I should have asked you off the air. Is it para or para?
Para.
Pair. Okay. The reason I ask is because I did a little bit of homework ahead of time, trying to figure out where the band name came from. And it's actually Latin for war. And I also know that it refers to a firearm cartridge. And from our past conversations, I know that the members of the band are all have military backgrounds. So I'm starting to feel a theme here.
Yeah, it comes from the Latin phrase, if you want peace, prepare for war, which parabellum is prepare for war. I thought it was cool and fitting. And we started out as all veterans. Unfortunately, when COVID hit last March, our drummer Derek had to leave. He had a small infant and, of course, concerns with unknowing. He stepped away, but then John stepped in and drumming for us. And while he's not a veteran, he's about as pro-American as anybody could be without, you know, having served pro-military and everything like that.
So how did a band form? Like, was it because of the veteran ties, or was it something else that brought you guys together?
I've been trying to do a band of all veterans for probably 7-8 years now. And it just so happened, I met Eric through Eric and Amanda through one of the veterans groups I go to. And then we played in a previous project together. Obviously Kate, we've been into some projects together. And then the guitar player, my son, obviously I know him from the past. and then our first drummer, Derek, we also went to the same veterans group we all did. So we all started out, we all basically knew each other from the Veteran X program up at the Butler VA. And then JC I've known from the local music scene and in the area for probably 5, 6, 7 years. And then, we needed some help. You know, he was right there and available for us, and he's been fantastic.
I know that you're headed into the studio next week at Rattle Clack Entertainment. And earlier today, I got a little sneak peek of some of what you have planned. Can you talk a little bit about how you decide what songs you cover and the theme behind your originals?
When we decide on songs we cover, we like to stay in the kind of a little bit of a military meaning or pro-America meaning. Just to kind of keep with the general band concept of it. We start our shows off with a really kick-ass cover of Fortunate Son, which I think we do very well. And, Kate just knocks it out of the park. We covered, Judas Priest, No Surrender. So we we kind of steer towards that way a little bit to see if we can tie it together. And when we do our songwriting and the songs I wrote, they're a lot of them are based on, you know, just experiences from, you know, being veterans, being in the military, and tie in that way. Now we do have one, John wrote a song and then we're bringing that one in. And then, you know, so it's not quite military related, but the lyrics lend itself a little bit to that. If you can kind of tie it in a little bit. So we try to stay in that realm, in that region.
So you brought up the writing processes. Do you write? Clearly, you're writing the lyrics for most of the stuff. Are you? Is it you bring it to the band and the band tweaks it, or how does that work?
The first set of songs we did, I had written the lyrics years ago, a couple years ago, and we kind of toyed around with the idea in a previous project for some of the songs. Never really got them where they needed to be. You know, but so I had them on hand and I brought them back out. We're doing a song. Kate wrote a song. John wrote a song. I've wrote in 4 or 5 now. And basically it's, I will bring the lyrics in and hey, you know, let's see what we can do with this. Or Eric and Lee will come in and they'll play something and say, hey, wait, I got lyrics that might fit that. And Kate will run the lyric sheet and it works or it doesn't. We've had some where the lyrics work horribly with the riff, you know, but then we find some more lyrics and that's how we found out, you know, we wrote another song that way is we found something that fit with what we had and worked out really well, you know. And then when John brought us his song, Endless Time to Do, he already had it done. He had it written. He had the basic concept for the music done. He said, here, I'd like to do this. Let's try this and see if we can't do something with it. And within 45 minutes, we were playing and it was sounding great. You know, we tweaked it a little bit here or there, kind of, you know, to make it make sense for us. And, you know, it's a great song. And John did a real good job writing it.
How many tracks are you guys going to be recording next week?
We're going to shoot for 2. And with Jazz is real meticulous. So we may only get 1 out. But if we can plow through 2 of them, we're going to try and get 2.
Is that why Ralph wished you good luck?
maybe. No, Jazz is good at what he does, and he doesn't want to put out something that's not right or that's just good enough. And he really dives into the music and does everything he can to elevate it and bring it, you know, to a different level, you know. And that's where the time consuming part for Jazz comes in. And he'll literally break it down to like a 16th of a beat, you know, and looking at every, you know, every stanchion throughout the entire song. And you know, and he's done great work. And obviously, you know, with all the different bands he's recording and playing with, obviously his body of work speaks for itself.
So you've been on my shows, this one and 3 Questions and a Song, enough to know that what I'm going to ask you to do now is to tell me a little bit about the song that we're going to feature, which is I Die Alone.
I wrote that song, I would say probably 3 years ago. And it's a song about the feeling you get. Veterans are suffering with PTSD and veteran suicide. It's kind of that feeling you get while you're going through the process. And when I had wrote that, I wasn't in a very good place. But how I pulled myself out of that was one day I just put pen to paper and that's what came out. And we had a previous band, and I want to give Damon some credit on it too. When I first brought that out a couple of years ago, he helped kind of with the initial structure on it. So I give him all the credit in the world for help starting to bring it to life. But then when I brought it to this band, we were able just to kind of finalize it, make the final piece, and put the rest of the pieces of the puzzle together, and make it a really dynamic song. But yeah, it's a tough song to listen to for some people. Some people, it's a good song to listen to, but it's probably one of the most realistic songs I've written. As far as what the subject matter is dealing with, and how, at least for me and some other my other veteran friends that I've talked to, you know, the feelings that they've gone through as they're, you know, some are currently in the process themselves or having gone through the process.
It's when I re-listened to it about 10 times today, and the more I listen to it, the more I think about how the military veterans feel when they come back. And I think that you did an excellent job of portraying that. And, you know, I asked you if it was from your own experience, and you said some of it. So I thank you.
You're welcome. It's one of those things that you're supposed to talk about, but nobody talks about because, well, we're all macho. Even the women are macho, and nobody wants to talk about it. But it's there and it's real. And, you know, and nobody's alone feeling that way. There are thousands upon thousands that feel like that every day, you know. But there's always hope somewhere.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and play that song so that everyone understands what we're talking about. And we're going to take a short break, and we'll come back with Terry right after that.
Trouble. should have done all those things seem cheap. I try to teach my kids about my regrets and what I should have done differently.
That was I Die Alone by Parabellum. And we also played County Road by the Red Lines. And with me now is Terry Blair from Parabellum.
You mentioned the Red Lines, everything like that. And Brian Cease, and they're doing some really good songwriting out there. And some of the new stuff they come out with is fantastic. I just wanted to recognize that.
Something that's going on in this episode and next episode, in case you guys haven't caught on, there is a song coming out on the 8th, which will be next Friday, called SOS 2020. It is to try and help save the stages in the Pittsburgh area through the NEVA Foundation, which is a national organization that is working to save the stages and save our stages. So the songs that you're going to hear this week and next week, other than the featured song of the bands, are from bands that recorded that song. So make sure you check that out at sos2020pgh.org. It's a mouthful. Real quick, we have Dawn McNair of the Hellfire Club saying hi to us, Terry, and Merry Christmas. So Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you too, Dawn. Nice to see you in the chat room with us.
Good to see you, Dawn.
This one might be the hardest one I've ever asked you, and it should give me time to think up a couple more.
Great.
So during the pandemic, this is what makes it hard is that you can't get out to play. So what does the future hold for Parabellum other than the recording that you're doing right now?
First off, this past year, we've actually been lucky enough to play a couple shows. We did the Rock for Life, a concert for Anna. We played a show for the Gary Sinise Foundation out near Rochester. So we've gotten out a few times. Moving ahead, we have a huge veterans benefit that we're going to be playing Memorial Day weekend. So we have one in the books. But until we find out if there's places that are actually going to have bands, you know, right now our current concentration is going to be just writing and getting some material out, doing some recording and middle to late summer, you know, try and maybe get a CD out, you know, that's our initial focus. But as soon as they start opening stages back up, you know, obviously, you know, it's, you know, we're going to try and get out there and play some, but right now we have the one show in the books, you know, in May. But like I said, everything's up in the air. So it's, what are you going to do?
That's pretty much how everything is right now.
Yeah.
Although I will say it was kind of cool to watch Wonder Woman 1984 at my house the day it came out. Not used to doing that.
Haven't seen it yet.
I won't ruin it. So I don't think I've asked you this. Can you tell me about the point in time when you realized that you wanted to be a musician?
I don't know that I've ever actually wanted to be a musician. As callous as that sounds, maybe, but I've just always loved music. From the time I was young, I was always listening to something, you know, and then I got my first guitar. I was probably 15. It was an old Bluebird from JCPenney and a little pig nose amp. And toyed around some in my youth, but you know, it just, it kind of happened as a hobby. I just wanted to play along to some of my songs. So, you know, I bought some equipment and just sit in my house playing the songs. And then, opportunity presented itself a few times. And then, you know, here I am 8-9 years later of getting back into it and, you know, just having the time of my life. And I couldn't see myself doing it anything else. You know, I don't drink, I don't do drugs, I don't chase wild women, I don't do all the crazy stuff you're supposed to. But it's just music's my outlet, you know, but I don't think I ever really wanted to be a musician. I think it was just an outlet for me.
Sean McDonald popping in with a hello to us as well. You can tell it's the holidays. A lot of people interacting with us in my last couple episodes. Who's your Dave Grohl? And by that, I mean, what well-known musician or band would you want to go up on stage with and play?
Unfortunately, the guys I'd love to play with are all bass players. I'd love to play with Rudy Sarzo, Cliff Williams, Ian Hill. I'd love to play with those guys. I cut my teeth with AC/DC, you know, back in the late 70s. And I think if I had a choice of anywhere to stand on stage, you know, if I ever had the chance to, you know, have Cliff Williams take a back seat for 7 minutes, I think that would be where I would do it at. AC/DC's was my first, you know, introduction into hard rock. And, you know, that's kind of where I'm at, you know.
Ralph says that there's no rules against two bass players, and he's probably
actually me and a couple guys, Mark Fazio, have toyed around with it of doing a band of just all bass players, four or five of us just doing an all bass band, and we never could get it to come to fruition, but it's fun to talk about. I know there was one band that made a pretty good stab nationally or worldly or whatever it is with a couple bass players, but I can't remember their name. But yeah, we've talked about doing something like that. It's just one of those things that it's all talk right now. And if it ever comes to fruition, it's going to be fun, you know, but you know, it'd be interesting.
So I have two things about that part of the conversation. One is I know Mark because I used to play street hockey with him when I was a kid. And two, Ralph doesn't have a problem with it because I keep telling everybody that I'm joining Homicide Black and taking his spot. So if there's two bass players, he doesn't have to leave.
Well, if you take his spot, there'll be two bass players because I'm kicking him out and taking his spot too. So we'll both play bass in Homicide Black.
All right, but I don't know how to play bass. So
depend on who you ask, me either.
I don't know if you ever saw the picture that I posted that says Homicide Bill instead of Homicide Black.
I did. And
Ralph was actually in the original picture. I just slid myself over top of him. We were both in the original picture, but
that's funny.
Ralph says three bass players, but he's the lead bass.
Okay, I'm in.
Hey, if everyone's paying attention to him, then I can just pretend to strum and no one will know I don't know how to play.
Every good band has props on stage. You'll be our prop.
This is going in the weirdest direction. On it. If you had to manage, not play in, but manage a band from the music scene that we're involved in, and you got to create the lineup, who would you put in that band?
Well, obviously, you said I couldn't play. On bass, you put Mike Ekus in there. He's hands down probably the best bass player in the Pittsburgh area. And there's a lot of great bass players around. But you put Mike Ekus in there. I'd say on drums, you put Matt, but Matt's already in like 17 bands.
It's funny you should say that. Somebody asked him how he keeps up with all his bands, or no, said, "I can't keep up with all your bands," and he said, "Yeah, me either." Yeah. I saw it on Facebook today.
Yeah. Guitar players, God, there's so many good ones out there. I don't know. Guitar players, it's going to be hard to pick. I mean, you could pick 100 of them. I mean, it's, I love playing on stage with Hippie. I mean, it's, me and Hippie have such a good time and good chemistry when we play together. So I'd have to bring Hippie along just because it's just a fun time. Mikey Pallone, he's probably one of the better ones out there. But now we've got half a skell in the band anyway. But vocally, you're talking female vocals. Obviously, Kate's got some power behind her. But I like what Mark Ponsby's doing. Mark Ponsby's got a real, he's a pure singer, you know, and he'll argue with that and say he's not, but he's a pure singer straight through. I don't know, man, that's tough. Ask me an easy question.
Do I have any of those?
I don't know. I mean, I mean, obviously I'm playing with Dan and Dave Climo, and I've done that quite a few times. I never get a chance to play with Dan, but I've played on stage with Dave a lot. It'd be like the Allman Brothers out there, you know, 17 player, you know, that's fine.
Well, I think of a question. You tell us where we can find Parabellum online, although I think that's a short answer.
we're on Facebook. Hang on, let me pull up and see what the actual address is to
it's right there. It's Parabellum, yeah. PGH.
I was looking for the Bandcamp one, and then it's parabellumpgh.bandcamp.com, where we also have we're going to start throwing some material out so people can download it from there without having to do anything kind of crazy with Facebook or YouTube, or just ask one of us and we'll just get you a copy of it. You know, it's pretty simple that way. But the two main spots you can find us are on Facebook, /ParabellumPGH, and then ParabellumPGH at Bandcamp. Is where we are mostly.
I'm going to ask you the question that I've dubbed the shadow event question. And I may have asked it before. If I have, stop me. But Christina, who's the lead singer from the Shadow Event, asked me this probably almost a year ago at this point. But if your band was in a cartoon, which cartoon would you guest on?
Well, see? Being all veterans, you go G.I. Joe right away.
I'm glad you didn't say Scooby-Doo. That's what everybody says.
But now, if you were to ask Kate would probably say something like Josie and the Pussycats or something like that. I don't know. But
Gem and the Holograms.
Okay, we could stop. We'll stop at G.I. Joe and leave it there.
Christina interviewed me last episode, and she asked me that question. And my answer was Phineas and Ferb. Because, again, I couldn't say Scooby-Doo. Everybody answers Scooby-Doo.
Beavis and Butthead. I don't know. Ren and Stimpy.
Terry, I do want to thank you for coming on episode 548.
It's a pleasure, as always, Bill.
And I'd like to point out that we pretty much hit my time dead on, which is like a record for us. Usually we talk a lot.
Well, we did have about a half an hour conversation before this too, so.
Yes, we did.
So, but you know, we got some new stuff coming out. I let you, you know, listen to a couple of them and everything like that. So it's, you got a taste of kind of what we're doing and where we're headed. So just look for some new music for us coming out. We did some recording at Mr. Small's at, with Eric from Sound Spectrum Media. And so we got two songs being released on their compilation CD set, which should be out into January, February timeframe. And that's going to go worldwide. So we're excited about that. But then let's get back with jazz and keep plugging along. So new stuff coming soon.
And as always, make sure I get that new stuff. And we'll point out again that Parabellum can be requested on buildascene.com's radio station. And when we get the new stuff, there'll be more songs for you to listen to. But as of right now, you can check out I Die Alone anytime you want by putting that request in.
Awesome.
Okay. Awesome. So here's the end of the show where I'm terrible at segueing to the end every time. You would think with like over 600 episodes, I've had this, I'd have this part down, but I don't like going. So we're just going to do what I normally do and tell you, check us out each and every Friday on buildascene.com. And check out our other podcast, Three Questions and a Song, on the 1st and 15th of the month, which means there is a new Three Questions and a Song for you to check out today with this show on January 1st. We'll catch you next time.
Awesome. Thanks, Bill.
Hard living's gonna take a toll. I did it for the love of rock and roll. This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.